We're going to take a look at verses 1 through 8 as we continue just our series of fruitful Christianity. And before we do that, I don't want to forget like I did last week. About a month ago, the Watkins traveled to Arizona, maybe a little over a month now, and adopted a little baby girl. Her name is Charlotte Marie Watkins. And she's here. This is actually her second Sunday. But we want to welcome her. And we also want to let Anna and Garrett know that we are excited for you. I mean, you got to stand up. Can you just stand up and show her off a little bit? Congratulations. And so you know this, but we've been praying for you, and we are so excited for you as parents, and we will continue to pray for you as you seek to raise your little girl in the fear of the Lord. So thank you for being here as well. All right, so Psalm 78, before we jump in, let me pray. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, we desperately need you to work in our lives, to soften our hearts, that, Lord, we would receive your word. Lord, we recognize you breathe these words out, and these words are profitable. Lord, these words give us life. These words will teach us. These words will correct us. These words will admonish us. These words will train us in righteousness as they guide us in the ways in which you have created us to walk. And so, Lord, we ask for your Spirit to accomplish your good purposes in us and in this church through this word this morning. Lord, for it is our desire to be doers of the word and not merely hearers only. So let us hear and let us do. And though we recognize we can't do any of this apart from you, so please work out your will in our lives here in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, how many parents we got in here? So we're going to talk a little bit about parenting. Have you ever thought to yourself or found yourself wondering what your children will be like when they get to your age? Nobody? I do, especially as my kids get older, I think about that more often. My mind begins to go to places as I watch God grow them physically, and as he walks them through different things in life, I begin to get a picture of what their convictions are on things, and it just makes me wonder at times. It makes me wonder, what will my little girl be like if the Lord allows for her to be married one day and be a mom? It makes me wonder what my boys will be like as they grow up and if the Lord wills, allows for them to be a husband and a dad. I wonder, will they, this is the thing I really wonder about, is will they passionately love the Lord? Will they have these convictions based upon God's word, and will they live them out? I don't wonder if they're going to be perfect, because that doesn't happen. And I know my own heart, and I know what my own life looks like, but I just wonder. I wonder what they'll do, how they'll live, but ultimately I wonder is, will they faithfully follow the Lord? Will they wake up in the morning and desire to pick up a cross, deny themselves, and follow Jesus Christ? I also wonder what our church will look like. I wonder what our church will look like in regards to the next generation. See, I've been here for 16 years, and I've watched a lot of kids grow up in this church. I remember Garrett, I think, and if this is, you might have to correct me on this, but I think it was before you were a teenager. I didn't do the math, but I'm pretty sure. If I take away 16 years, you're not a teenager, correct? Right, okay. So I remember Garrett and meeting his parents and being in his room as they're showing things off when he was collecting hot sauces. You don't do that anymore, correct? But I just remember that, and I remember him and what he was like, and I still bring that up in context at different times. But I don't just remember Garrett. I remember other kids in this church who have now grown up and are adults, and are married and have kids. And it's exciting. I also look around and there's a lot of kids who aren't here. And I've walked through a lot of things with a lot of parents, and it just makes me wonder again, where will my kids be 10 years from now? Where will your kids be 10 years from now? What will our church look like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now? What will our church look like when I'm not even around anymore, when you're not around anymore? See, the Lord cares about that. He cares about our church, and he cares about our kids, and he calls for us to think about the future, especially when it comes to our kids, and allowing for us to be able to transfer what he has given to us in the sense of sowing seeds, sowing gospel truths into the next generation. And if you're a parent, that begins first in our homes, to the kids that God has allowed for us to have. And so I want us to think about the next generation. If we're going to be a fruitful church today, we have to have a mindset that also thinks about our future, especially when it comes to discipleship. You see, we've been given a mission to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And here at Sovereign Grace Church, we've kind of put this mission into a statement, and it sounds like this. Our mission is to glorify God by building a community of people who are actively knowing, applying, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's a mission we give ourselves to today, but it's also a mission that we're called to give ourselves to tomorrow and off into the future, because God has given us this mission to make disciples. And if you're a parent, he's given you kids, and if they still live in your home, he's called for you to primarily disciple them for as long as they get to live in your home. So I have 4 kids. For those that don't know, I have an almost 20-year-old daughter. I have a son who will turn 18 this year. I have a son who's about to turn 16 in about a week. And then I have another son who will be 15 this summer. So we just kind of packed them all in together really close in age. At one point, they were all 4 and under. And it was chaos. Thinking back to that, it's just kind of a blur. But the reality is they're all old now. They're all driving a vehicle in some way. I know my youngest doesn't have a permit, but we allow for him to drive in certain parking lots because it helps me out and stuff like that. But instead of teaching them to ride a bike, I'm teaching them all how to, in a sense, drive a vehicle and beyond. And if you're a parent, you know what that's like, right? These seasons fly by. They just fly by. It feels like yesterday they're in diapers and I'm teaching them to ride a bike, and now I'm teaching my youngest, too, how to drive a vehicle. Those seasons fly by. But God's given us those seasons to sow seeds and to help come alongside this next generation and help them understand who they are in relation to a holy God who has made them and has made everything in this world. A holy God who sent his son Jesus to live in their place and die on a cross so that they would have hope of a life beyond this life. So that when they really screw up and they see their sin, that they can look to a Savior who died for those sins so that they could be freed from the effects of those sins and the punishment that those sins deserve and be able to walk in this newness of life by believing in Jesus Christ and be forgiven. But also to extend that forgiveness to those who are going to sin against them one day, and for those as well to join in this mission that we've been given by our Lord and Savior, to go and make disciples. So, to talk about fruitful parenting, and I don't just want us to think about our own families. I want us to as well think about our church in the sense of we've been called to live life together, and I don't believe we ever parent alone. I believe we're called to do this in the context of community, and we're going to see this from Psalm 78. And so if you can, would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 78 and stand for the reading of God's Word if you are able. So Psalm 78, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a very long psalm, 72 verses. I'm just going to read the first 8 verses. Listen to God's Word. He says this, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." You may be seated. So what we're going to learn from this text, we're going to take a look at 3 points this morning, is this. A fruitful church is committed to equipping families and the next generation with the gospel, because it is God's plan to work through families to reach the next generation with the gospel. A fruitful church thinks about the next generation. A fruitful church invests into the next generation by sowing seeds of the gospel and discipling the next generation with the gospel and the truth of God's word. So we're going to look at 3 points from these 8 verses. And the first point, we learn this, that we must train the generations to come. We must train the generations to come. You see, in God's great mercy, he's chosen to reveal himself to his people. Just think about that. That's something we say a lot. It's said before I preach, when we stand and we just read God's word together, that sometimes we forget that. But in God's great mercy, he has chosen to speak to his people. He's chosen to not remain silent, but instead to reveal himself to his people. And that is amazing, because he didn't have to do this. He did not have to reveal himself to us. We don't deserve to know him in this way, yet our God is merciful and he's gracious, and he has chosen to reveal himself to us. In the same mercy, God has chosen to not only reveal himself to a small group of people at a certain point in history, but he has chosen to reveal himself, as we learn from this text, from one generation to the next. So he wasn't just revealing himself to the people in the Old Testament period, or the people during the time that Christ walked this planet, or the time just right after Christ died and was raised from the dead as the church was being established, but he's chosen to reveal himself in specific ways throughout every single generation. It's his plan to reveal himself to every generation. And he does it through his word. And he does it by using his people to disciple the next generation. And we are living proof of this mercy, aren't we? We're living proof of God's purpose and plan to disciple one generation and have them disciple the next generation, and then have them disciple the next generation, to be investing into their families and the generations around them in the context of the local church. We're living proof of this. I want you, just for a moment, just think about it like this. How many people are first-generation believers? That means mom and dad weren't believers. So we have a couple. I am. So I think I'm looking at 3, 4, 5 maybe. Okay. How many people have had parents before you that were believers? Okay. How many people have had grandparents before you that were believers? How many about great-grandparents? Can you go that far? Okay, just look at that. It's just living proof. God works in these ways. He calls for parents to be faithful in picking up a cross and walking and following Jesus. And then he calls for us as parents and as older people to look at the next generation and train them. And it works from one generation to the next. It's just part of God's purposes and plans. And so we're here today. Many of you are here today because we're just standing on the shoulders of the generation that has gone before us. Because people have taken that mission to make disciples. Parents have taken that mandate to train up their children in the fear of the Lord, teaching them all that he's commanded us, that they might come to know him, knowing that we as parents, we can't save our kids. But we can sure tell them about Jesus. And we can trust that the gospel really is the power of God. And that when the gospel is shared with others and the Spirit is poured out upon people, it really does save people, doesn't it? Just think about your own life. You're saved because somebody shared the gospel with you. And for some reason at that moment in time, it just made sense, didn't it? And it changed your heart. And then you believe. Then all of a sudden you started to repent of your sin and you started to follow Jesus. Again, not perfectly, but that's just how the gospel works. It saves people. It's the power of God, and we are living proof of it as it has been passed along from generation to generation through moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and older people in the church investing into younger people, kind of like what's taking place right now across the way. As Ryan Dennard and Derek Williams are investing into the next generation here at Sovereign Grace Church. This is important. Very important. So important that the psalmist begins by just trying to get our attention. Look with me again at verses 1 through 4. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." What he's saying is, pay attention. Listen up. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation." See, the psalmist understands who God is and what God is doing is far greater than himself. He understands that he's been called by God to play a small part in something very large. He also understands that even though it's a small part, it's an extremely important part because it's a role that he has been given by God to play. And as parents, we've been given a role to play in training the next generation. And I'm not going to say this every time, but I feel like I should again this time. Maybe this will be the last time. It's not just parents. It's older people in our church. You may not have kids in our church, but if you're here and we're going to be a fruitful church, yes, you need to invest into your kids, even if they're old and they're grown. But God's also given you a place in our church to look around. And if you look around right now, you'll see there's just different generations present. And you have a role. You have a role to invest into them. To tell them about Jesus, to help them understand this book, that they might come to know God in a personal way and walk in an intimate relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And because I'm here, and just to share that with you, what I've seen, and I'm probably getting to that age, my kids are teenagers, so I'm in the thick of it. I wake up every day and there's an opportunity to address something, but what I've seen, as I look out, and not just in our church, but in other churches, and as I've talked to other people whose kids who have grown up, is sometimes there's this void that takes place. So you get to an age sometimes where maybe you're in the church and you're looking around and your kids are no longer in children's ministry, they're no longer in the youth ministry, they might not even be in the church, and you're just here and you're wondering, what should I be doing? What is my role? I think I've talked to many people whose kids who have grown, and they come to a place and they're just trying to figure out, what do I do now? Which I get, because my friends warn me. When your kids grow up, there's going to be no baseball to coach, no basketball to coach. They're not going to be there to help you mow a lawn. You're going to wake up one day and it's just going to be you and Sarah in the home, and you won't have to tell anybody, go clean their room. You're going to have to, like, at one point, you're not even going to be able to tell them, did you do your homework? Because there's no homework for them to do anymore. So what are you going to do with your life when you get to that moment? Or what are you doing with your life in this moment if that's you? What I want to challenge you to think about is I want to challenge you to think about the next generation that's present in this church. Because God's got a purpose and a plan for you to invest into the next generation. We are called to train the generations to come. So if that's you and you want to figure out how to do that, I would love to talk to you about that. Because we're not home yet. Christ has not returned and you're still breathing. Therefore, we're still called to this mission to make disciples. And so parents, for those of you who do have kids in the home, God has called you specifically. Sometimes we just need to hear this, don't we? We just need to be reminded in the midst of all the madness that our children represent the next generation. And God calls for us to think about them. And not just them, but their kids. It's hard to imagine for me at this point, but it's getting closer. But to think through that I invest into my kids so that they might invest into their kids, that their kids might invest into their kids. And so it's just going from one generation to the next. And so it just kind of puts some weight of importance on what we're doing now, isn't it? We're called to invest into our kids. And we're called to see beyond our kids here from this psalm that we're not just investing into them, we're investing into the generation after them and the one after that. So it's great grandkids. Because God works in that way. He works in all sorts of other ways, but he works through the families. And so as parents, we play an important role. So point number two then is, what must we tell them? Or maybe this way, we must tell them all that the Lord has done. Again, verse 4 through 7 says this, "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." See, our primary goal as parents, or our primary goal in discipling the next generation, is not so much to teach them what to do, rather it's to teach our children all that the Lord has done. Because they can do a lot of things. And we can help them apply the truth of Scripture, and we're still called to do that. But what we're learning is we got to teach them who God is. And we got to teach them all that God has done and how that he's revealed himself as a holy God, perfect in all his ways, an all-powerful God who's in control of everything. And so if you're an adult, I'm trusting you know the power of understanding the power of God. Or the sovereignty of God, knowing he's at work in all things. I'm trusting that you've experienced that in a personal way somehow. That those truths, or a loving God, or a forgiving God, has met you in some way, in some specific way that has comforted your soul at some moment. And so I share that with you because I want you to think about those experiences. As you've seen these truths in Scripture, and you've applied them to your life in some way at some point in time. Because God's calling us to teach those things to our kids. See, I think about this all the time, and I talk to Garrett about this, and so I don't do much for the youth anymore besides show up. But I used to have all the youth in my home for I don't know how many years. And some meetings were really, really good. In some meetings, I'm just thinking, man, I'm so glad they just left. Sorry, Brandon. Only because, like, it's a mixed bag of emotions. You get all these teenagers in here, and you share these truths with them. And I was just sharing this with Garrett recently as he was getting back from adopting Charlotte, and he's getting back into class, and he's going to teach them some truth about God. And it's just a perspective thing, because when I sit in my room or I have these kids sitting with me, and he's about to go teach all these kids at the King's Academy, the next generation, and he's going to tell them these amazing truths about God. And I know what it looks like to teach kids about the amazing truths of God, and they get this glazed over look, and maybe one or two of them are interested in what you're saying, and the other ones are kind of just kind of working through the meeting and moving on, see, kind of laughing, but it's just true. This is what they do. But for me, I'll leave these meetings sometimes, and it breaks my heart. Because you're pouring out these truths about God, and then we're praying and asking God to save these kids and take these truths and may it mean something to them. Because I know what's going to happen, and I know if you're a mom or dad or if you've lived long enough, you know what's going to happen to them. Life's going to hit them hard one day. They're going to be married, and their husband or wife is going to disappoint them. They're going to get married, they're going to stand there, they're going to say, I do, and it's going to be the happiest day of their life, and then 6 months to 6 years later, something's going to change. And they're going to have to remember that Christ died on a cross, and that there's forgiveness, and there's hope for a really good marriage. But they're going to have to actually forgive their spouse, or be forgiven by their spouse. Or they're really going to want to get into this college program, and they don't know it yet, but they're going to be denied the first time, and they're going to think it's the end of the world. Or they might bring home a D and lose the Hope Scholarship, and they're going to figure out, how in the world am I going to pay for college? Or they're going to grow up, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to have this great time together, and then one of their kids is going to get cancer, sick, and maybe die. Or maybe they're going to have a really good marriage, but maybe their spouse gets sick and passes away, or a car accident happens, or just whatever it can be. The reality is it's just life, isn't it? So kids, I don't want to ruin the future for you, but Scripture talks a lot about it. It's just called suffering. It's called hard. It's called difficult. And we're not to be surprised by it. And so that's why I'm saying, when you're sitting in Mr. Watkins' class or you're sitting in this youth meeting today and he's teaching you the Scriptures, just so you know, he's sowing seeds for today. Trusting that when you walk through the difficulties of life, that they will actually make a difference in your life. That you'll cling to these things. When you find yourself alone in your bedroom and sad, sort of depressed, that you'll understand that you have a great God. Great God. Powerful God who does not leave you. Because he killed his son for you. See, those truths function. They do. They function. Just ask somebody who's older than you, say, how did you walk through a difficult season of your life? And I'm going to bet, I don't bet, but if I had to bet, that they're going to take you to some scripture verses. And they're going to say, I looked at this verse every single day and it got me out of bed. See, we need to teach the next generation these truths. Doesn't mean it's going to save them. But we're going to trust God that we sow seeds and he causes them to grow. So what do we tell them? We tell them the truth. And there's no greater truth that we can teach the next generation than the good news about Jesus Christ. That God has so loved this world that he sent his son to live in our place, a perfect life. Yet he went to a cross to die for all of our sins. See, we need to teach them that truth. May we never tire of telling our kids about Jesus. And may we model it for them. Again, kids, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. Your mom and dad are not perfect. Live long enough and you're going to find out that your mom and dad are really just kids hiding in an adult's body. It's true. I'm 43 years old. I sometimes think of myself as that 16-year-old still, getting in my car for the very first time. I don't feel that way, but I think that way sometimes. And then I just make stupid mistakes. And mom and dad make stupid calls sometimes. And we don't do things right every time. We fail. And so if you still think your parents are perfect, I'm just letting you know they're not perfect. They're going to fail. So parents, we're not trying to live perfect lives. We're trying to trust in the perfect one and model for our kids what that looks like. And I think there's no better way to model for that than just to have a culture of repentance and faith. To be in the habit of letting our kids know, hey, I failed in this moment. I sinned here. And then asking for forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? Or modeling it for them when they fail, that we might actually forgive them and not condemn them, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if your kids are in Christ Jesus, then we celebrate the confession of sin. Doesn't mean there's not consequences, but we celebrate it. We rejoice when they actually come to us and tell us something we wouldn't know about them, and we help walk them through that in a gracious and merciful way, like our Father does to us. And so let us tell them the truth. Let us teach them all that the Lord has done. And let's do it all the time. Deuteronomy 6 says it like this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Now listen to this. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And so when should we be doing this? All the time. And so kids, okay, I'm going to let you in on a secret here. If you get annoyed with your mom and dad teaching you about Jesus all the time, just so you know, what they're doing is they're being faithful. Okay? They're doing what God has called them to do. To teach you and to tell you about Jesus and the truth of God's word all the time. Now, parents, this means all the time. And I understand that there are different seasons. In my home, it's difficult to get everybody in the same house at the same time. In my house, it's easier for me right now to talk about Jesus and the Bible and read the Bible with my kids on a car ride to practice than it is in the home and gathering everybody up. And so we're working through that. We're learning as we enter into different seasons. But I feel like there's application here, because it's just all the time. It's whenever you have an opportunity, teach your kids about Jesus. Teach your kids the truth of God's word. And with technology, sometimes that looks like a text to this kid, a private conversation with these two kids at this moment, around the table at this moment. But the point here is we're called to do this faithfully. Not perfectly, because we trust in the perfect one. But as parents and as one generation called to train the other generation, it's just all the time. Whenever you have opportunity, speak the truth to the next generation. This leads us to our final point. We must be faithful in our parenting. So in verse 8, the psalmist motivates us to pursue faithfulness in training the next generation. Listen to this. He says, "And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." Now the rest of this psalm goes on recounting their father's unfaithfulness in light of God's great faithfulness. As parents, we must not forget God in our parenting, but instead we must cling to Him as our hope for our parenting. Okay, we're not perfect. I was having a conversation, but I've also been thinking about this. And so I was with an older gentleman recently, and a gifted man in counseling. And he was sharing his life and his experiences, and it was like as I was sitting there, I was just thinking, man, I would pay a lot of money just to listen to this guy speak over and over again. Just oozing wisdom in regards to like addictions and things like that. And he's used by God to help train people, to help other people who wrestle with addictions. And as he was talking and he was sharing, he shared that he himself struggled with it at one point early in his life. That's how he got involved in it. But he also has a kid who wrestles with it. And so I'm thinking, here's a guy who trains people on how to help people, yet in his home he has a child who wrestles with this, and he's throwing the best he has at him, and it's not helping. Okay, that's just one example. And then I know all these other guys as well who have been faithful to pastor their kids or pastor their churches. Godly men. Godly wives who can ace any Bible exam you throw at them, who are great counselors, but in the home, there's a kid that's not following the Lord, that doesn't trust in Jesus. And so I share that with you because if you don't know this or not by now, you can have great faith in Jesus. You can faithfully follow him. You can teach people what it's like to follow him. But you can't change your kids' hearts. You can't reach into the next generation and just give them that love for Jesus that you have. It's the power of God that saves people, right? We understand that? And so our job is to be faithful. We just proclaim. We throw seed out there and we trust that the Lord Jesus will save them, or we trust that he's going to do exactly what he's supposed to do, because he's perfect. And in some weird way, I guess, that allows for me to sleep at night, because I trust in a God who always does what is right. He's perfect in all of his ways. And sometimes that means that sometimes some of our kids might not ever come to know Jesus Christ. It's just a reality. But I trust in a great God who's perfect in all of his way, who's holy, and he does what is right. And I know that's not something that we like to think about, but he hasn't called us as moms and dad to save our kids. You can't save your kids, but you can trust the one who does save. And so we continue to trust his process of sowing those seeds. I remember Sarah's grandma, I guess she would have been 100 this year, but she passed away maybe 10, 15 years ago. And she would always just say this, like, the Lord's going to keep her alive until all of her grandkids get saved. And I don't know if that actually happened or not, but what she did until really her dying breath was she prayed for all of her grandkids. Never gave up hope. Just praying, recognizing that only God through faith in Christ can save. And she continued to disciple all the kids that God would put into her life. She was just a faithful grandma. See, we are called to be faithful parents. We can't save our kids. We can't save anybody, but we can tell them about the one who does save. And so by the grace of God, may we be fruitful in our parenting by continuing to tell the next generation about Jesus Christ and not grow weary in it, because it can get tiring, can it? Because you just keep saying it over and over again, and it'd be nice just to kind of see a win here and there at different moments. I've heard somebody say that recently. It'd just be nice to kind of see the power of the gospel on display for a moment. Meaning what they're looking for is, I just want to see a bunch of people get saved. I just want to see a bunch of people pick up their cross and just begin to radically follow Jesus Christ. Just give their life away. It happens, doesn't it? Looking around the room. It's a miracle that we're all here. And so let's trust that God wants to do for us, or for others, what he's done for us. Let's trust that the gospel really is the power of God to save. And let's not grow weary in training the next generation. Amen? Amen. So in closing, here's what I want to do. Moms and dads, could you just stand for a moment? We want to pray for you. Just moms and dads. Kids, I want you to look at your parents, if they're here, all moms and dads, anybody who has a kid anywhere, you can stand. There we go. See, sometimes you just got to force people. Like, yes, that means you. So here's what we want to do. If you're around them, kids, raise your hand towards your parents or an adult and pray with me at this moment, because these folks need God's grace. And if you're a kid here, listen, quit wearing them out. All right? Honestly, here's a little free piece of advice. Just listen to them. Okay? I'm not lying to you. Just listen. What they're teaching you is eternal. We're talking heaven and hell. It matters. This world will lie to you over and over and over again, but these parents right here will tell you the truth. Listen to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon these moms and these dads. God, that you would overwhelm them with the gifts that they need to reach the hearts of the next generation you have placed into their home or into their lives. God, that you would help them to be patient, to be long-suffering, to be bold and courageous in their leadership and care, that, Lord, when things get tough, they would not back down, but they would press in and continue to be faithful, to trust you, and to teach their kids all that you have done and all that you are doing. Lord, equip these parents with the knowledge and the skill to preach the gospel in every season, to be able to reach their kids. And Lord, may it be effective. May it be effective. May you just breathe life into them at this moment, especially those who are discouraged. Give them a fresh awareness of who you are and what you're doing in and through them, and that you've called them to this very moment, and this moment doesn't last. It will be over before they know it. So give them life, Lord. Give them energy and give them rest. And Lord, we ask that you would save the next generation, Lord, that you would give the kids ears to hear, that they would just listen. And that you would make it effective. And that these kids, this generation, would grow up and they would train the next generation. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this church and these parents and these kids, that we all might pick up a cross and follow you today. And for the rest of our lives, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.